It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, praise God. It's always good to come into his house. It's always good to get to see all of your lovely faces and get to see you and be in fellowship with you. I just praise the Lord for the opportunity to get to be in his house again, because God is good and it is so good to be in his house. Praise the Lord. Let's just open with prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just praise and I just thank you for this moment, oh God. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for your calming peace on my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, for your purposes and your plans for this moment, oh God. Lord, I just praise and thank you, because where two or three are gathered in your name, Father, you're right there, Jesus. Lord, I thank you because you are right here. You're always in our midst, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you because you live in us, oh God. And I just praise you for your presence and for your glory. I praise you, Father, for your word. And I just ask you to have your way, Lord Jesus. In thine precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Bruce preached a magnificent message Sunday. It was magnificent for me. I don't know how many of you were here and heard. And really, basically, the topic of the message was repent. Repent. You know, that we can't just let sin continue and continue and continue. We need to remember what Jesus did, and we need to repent and walk holy before him. And I thought I was going to preach about it, but I'm not. I'm going to just share about something God spoke to me, and I'm going to preach something else. And so I just before Bruce started getting up to speak, the Lord started speaking to me, and he asked me, he said, do you know that many are called and few are chosen? And I said, well, yes, it's in your word. I'm very familiar with the verse, Lord. I believe I am chosen. He said, okay, good, yeah. And I said, okay, what's going on with this? And he said to me, do you remember what Bruce asked you to be? And I said, asked me to be, oh, yes, pastor of evangelism and outreach. Did I get that right? Pastor of evangelism and outreach. Yeah, that's awesome, Lord. He said, yeah, did you hear the word pastor? No, I just skipped right by that. Evangelism and outreach, I'm all in. And the Lord said, except to go where I'm taking you, to fulfill my purposes, you have to accept the calling. And I'm like, accept the calling? Well, accept that I'm calling you pastor. And he said, you know, I said pastor and you said evangelist is good. He said, I said pastor and you said missionary is awesome. I'll do that. He said, I said pastor. You said, I've been a teacher, Father, since I was 10 years old. And he said, but I said pastor. And when I hear pastor, I think of like Pastor Bruce. You know, you've got a flock. You're the head of a church. And I'm like, Lord, I cannot go down that road. I can't go there. Any other thing you want me to do, Father, I'm in. Just tell me what it is. And as I was standing there in service, just before Bruce got up to speak, the Lord said, I said, pastor. And I said, Lord, I can't do that. It's too much. You're asking too much of me. I can't do that. I've watched pastors my whole life. Lord, I worked with pastors in Mexico. How much more pastory can I get? And as he said, accept the call. I said, Lord, I've accepted the call. He said, all except I said pastor. And I said, but Lord, and he said, what do you think a pastor does? A pastor gathers to him. A pastor disciples. A pastor takes care, protects, and feeds. He says, what do you think you've been doing in Mexico all these years? You've been raising up and discipling people and sending them out to work for me. You've been gathering them. You've been caring for them. You've been protecting them. And yet you won't answer to pastor. And the Lord said, repent. A lot of times we have a call on our life. Not just the call to salvation, but a calling. And we don't want anything to do with a calling. We're great for salvation. We're all in. It's salvation. That's a free gift. I can manage that. But when we hear talk or mention of the calling, what's your calling? What's your calling? Oh, I don't have a calling. I don't have a calling. And yet God says we do. We each and every one have a calling. And we can't fulfill God's purposes in our lives until we answer that call. And as long as I was doing everything but answering the call to pastor, I wasn't answering the full call. Now, I am not going to open up a church. I am not doing those things. But I have become the pastor of evangelism and outreach. And the Lord said, you're basically going to keep doing exactly what you're doing. It's exactly what pastor said to me. And none of it clicked until Sunday when the Lord said, repent and accept the call. How many of us are teachers or pastors or evangelists or whatever the calling, apostle, prophet, whatever it is, but we won't accept that title because it's too heavy. That's it. No, pastor, that's just too heavy for me. I can't go there. And how many of us have calls that we're just like, okay, Lord, nope, not that. We're trying to tell the Lord what we will do for him and what we won't do for him, forgetting that he is God. And it's not about us. It's not about my inadequacies, which the list is endless. It's not about what I do right or what I do wrong, which seems to outweigh the things I do right. It's not about how confident I am or about how comfortable I am. It's about me trusting him. Do you trust him? He asked me, do you trust me? Well, yeah, I trust you. I say, pastor. Are you sure this is where you want to go with this? Are you sure this is what we're going to do right here, right now, Lord? We can't run from our calling and expect to get to where we want to go in the Lord. We cannot run from what God has for us to do and expect for him to do all the things in us that he's promised. How many of you have a promise from the Lord? How many of you have even a dream? Well, you're not going to get there until you accept his call, until you accept what it is he says. Whatever it is that he's saying to you that you're not accepting, you can't live in denial of the call and fulfill your purpose. And I have lived in denial of my call my whole life. Until Sunday when I said, okay, Lord, I accept it. I'm not sure I like it. I'm not sure I'm comfortable. But I accept it, Lord. And then the days since then, the Lord's just been speaking to me over and over again about the things we did in the things we've been doing in Mexico, the things we were doing. And he said, you know, pastor, discipling, pastor, leading people to Jesus, oh, pastor, taking care of them, feeding, pastor. Well, why can't I just be called an evangelist then? He said, because I said pastor. How many of us are often kind of in a little tug of war with the Lord? No, I don't have a calling. No, I don't have a calling. You know, everyone has a calling. You know, the first calling of everyone is to go into the world and to make disciples. Are we making disciples? Are we discipling people and leading them to Jesus and helping them grow in the Lord? Praise your name. And the Lord said, accept the call. Do you want to go where I've promised? Do you want to go where I'm taking you? How many want to go where God's taking you? How many of you are going somewhere with God? I'm not just going to stay right here. I'm not. I am not going to be planted in one spot and never move. I have to be moving. I have to go forward. I have to know that each day I can draw closer to Jesus and become closer to him. And I can't do that by staying right here. Staying right here is almost like sliding backwards. And so you have to answer that call to go forward. The Lord doesn't want us to just stay planted where we are. He doesn't want us to just stay sitting down or seated. He wants us to serve. The calling is about serving. It's about serving the Lord in a capacity that He's calling you to serve. And even if you don't feel trained to do it, even if you don't feel capable of doing it, He will give you the strength and the ability and the capability to do whatever it is He's calling you to do. And so Sunday, I went to Pastor Bruce, and I repented. I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I said, okay, here we go, here we go. Because I'm excited about where God wants to take me. I'm so excited. I am so excited. I would like to make an agenda about it all and have it all planned out. Of course, He's not letting me have that right now, but hey. The point is, to go forward, to reach where God is taking us, we must accept the call. Pastor, teacher, prophet, apostle, whatever it is, evangelist, whatever it is, we have to accept it. And it's so much more than just those five. You know, we don't have to just focus on those five. There are so many other things that are a calling, and God's calling you to fulfill that calling. And we have to step out and do that. Hallelujah. So if you will go with me in your Bible, Mike, I'm really sorry. I'm changing the message. Not me, the Lord. This is the message I originally had planned for tonight. And then when the Lord started sharing with this with me, I thought, well, maybe it's not, maybe I'm supposed to share it with everybody. And I did just share it with you a little bit. So I'm going to talk to you tonight about a story, about two stories, about two men, hopeful and hopeless. And this is a story, two different stories about two different men, both of them desperate, both of them in need, both of them rejected and alone and abandoned and both sick. This kind of sounds like us, doesn't it? Abandoned, rejected, sick, broken, desperate, in need. Praise the Lord. Go with me to Matthew. Sorry, Mike. I love you. Chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 1. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Praise your name, Jesus. And the word says, When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That is a really simple story. We start that one with the kids in Sunday school. But to really understand the significance of this story, I think you have to understand the Jewish customs and laws a little bit about leprosy. First of all, leprosy, for anybody that doesn't know, is a skin disease. It's very contagious. It's very ugly. It's a very long and drawn out, in many cases, death. And so anyone in the Bible times who came down with leprosy were abandoned and left. They were kicked out. They were shunned, and they were put to live in a secluded space with other lepers. And the lepers were required to wear some kind of a torn cloth that went across their faces from about the nose down. They were required to keep their hair unkempt. It had to be messy. You couldn't fix it or look nice. And if a leper came into the city or in places where there were crowds, they had to call out, unclean here, unclean, unclean walking, unclean, so that everybody would know they were unclean. I don't know about you, and I sometimes feel like my sin is out there for everybody to see. And it's embarrassing. I don't like it. But to have to go and announce it to everyone. And the other thing about leprosy is in the Bible days, they believed leprosy was such a horrible disease and so contagious and yada, yada. They believed that if you caught leprosy, it was because you had done some horrible, horrible, big, evil sin against God. So it wasn't what they classified as like the normal sins. You know, there wasn't a sacrifice you could go and make and be cleaned and be cleansed from this. This was a life sentence. Praise the Lord. And so everywhere they went, they had to call out. And if someone touched the unclean, they were then considered unclean and had to go to a priest and make sacrifice to be declared cleaned again. So it was a very, very serious disease. And praise the Lord. So for this leper to be, you have to stop and think that he had to be so desperate, because to not follow these laws and guidelines meant you could be put to death. Okay, so this leper had to be super, super desperate. And he walks up to Jesus. Now, how far away he stood, who's to tell? But he was close enough that Jesus could literally walk up to him, which he did. He walked up to him and touched him, which testifies to how Christ was and what he came to do. He didn't care that he was pronounced unclean. He came for the unclean. He came for the desperate. He came for the abandoned. He came for the rejected. He came for the lost. And he went right up to them and spoke to him, "I will it." Oh, there is beauty in that. Oh, there is beauty in that. Praise the Lord. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus knew that he had no hope but for this miracle. This man had to have heard about Jesus and what he was doing. He had had to have heard something to have a spark of hope in him that this man could make a difference. This man could do something, that he would thwart all of the laws and everything he had been taught from a child to get close enough to approach Jesus and say, "Hey, if you will it." But because he shouldn't have ever have come that close to him. Jesus never should have taken steps up and touched him. Jesus was showing the people, Jesus was showing this man that this is what I came to do. This is who I am. I'm not here to reject, but I am here to give life. I am here to restore the sick and to heal the broken and to restore the abandoned. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus came to do. How many times have I felt in one of those categories? Broken, alone, abandoned, rejected. More times than I can count. And Jesus came to heal all that in me. To heal me physically, hallelujah. Or spiritually, whatever I needed, Jesus came to be it. And by doing this, by touching, everybody was watching him. He was in a crowd. They saw him approach the leper. They saw him touch the leper. And they saw the leper be cleansed. Oh, what an amazing thing. I can understand why word and testimony of Christ spread so dramatically and so quickly, because he did everything different than what they had been taught their whole lives. They'd been taught their whole lives, even if it was your mother or your father or your child, you were to reject them and to send them out alone. They had no affection. They had no intimacy. They had no close relationships from the point they got sick to their death. Horrible. And it's what the people did. It's how this culture lived. Oh, and Jesus came to break every culture misunderstanding, every culture barrier that kept us separated from the Lord and from each other. And he just, in one simple act, declared his difference to the world. The next story, if you'll go with me to Mark chapter 5. This is man number 2. Mark chapter 5, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to start at verse 1. Hallelujah. Are we good? Everybody there? Mark chapter 5, it says, "They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. Let me explain. This is when Jesus took the boat of the disciples and they crossed the water. They went through the torment. They went through the storm. Peter walked on the water and they went to the other side. Now, the other side was a Decapolis. It was a combination of like three of these big cities that were devoted and dedicated to the Romans, to the Roman gods. Their temples were there. Now, this whole area was considered kind of like off limits. Thank you. Got a word stuck there. Was considered off limits to the Jewish people because of what took place there, because of the temples for the Roman gods. Okay, so they didn't go there. It wasn't a planned little trip. If you went there, you were considered unclean and then had to go back and be cleansed for whatever took you to the city. So Genesis 5 chapter 1 or verse 2, it says, "And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit." He was a man possessed. "He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones." Okay, so now we have a picture of two men, one with a hope, one with no hope. One who was sick in body, and the other who was sick in his heart, his mind, and his soul, and his body. One was a Jew, the called, the chosen. One was a Roman, the Gentile. Hallelujah. Both rejected, both abandoned, and both suffering. The beautiful and amazing thing is how Christ reacted to both these men. It says immediately he got out of the boat and there met him the tormented man. And do you know what Jesus did to this tormented man? He walked right up to him. He walked right up to him. The demons knew who he was. They even asked, "Hey, don't send us back to the dry places. Send us into the swine. Let us stay here in this place. Send us into the swine." And Jesus did. Do you know what I love about this story? If you read just slightly farther down, it says that that some of the city people heard from the moment he met Christ, he was hooked. That's all it took. And right? And he wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus said, "No, it's better if you stay here. Go back to the city and show yourself to your priests." Do you know what the city did? The people asked Christ to leave. They asked him, "Don't stay here. Hoo-hoo, we don't want you here. We don't want what you got going on. We don't want that here. Will you go back where you came from?" Oh, praise the Lord. God is so good. His plan for salvation, his plan for you and I is so magnificent in its entirety and in its fullness. This man had no hope. The city, the town, the people, they'd tried everything. They couldn't subdue him. They couldn't calm him. They couldn't keep him bound. They couldn't keep him clean. They didn't know what the heck to do with him. So he was living out in the graveyard, which was also a don't go there thing for the Jewish culture. Especially a graveyard that wasn't their graveyard. And Christ stood right there and ministered to this man who was not of the chosen, who was a Gentile. And he brought healing to him, to his body, to his mind, to his spirit, to his soul, and brought restoration to him right there. And then he sat down with Christ and began to talk and have a meal together. Isn't that like Jesus? He sat down and had a meal and woo, now we are in a double covenant. We are in a covenant because you have become a follower of my ways. You know me. I have healed and set you free. And now we're in another covenant, a salt covenant that means I am for you.
And then he sent him back to testify of what had happened there, of what Jesus had done for him. Oh, praise the Lord. No wonder word of Christ spread so rampantly and so quickly. The things he did, the way he did them. And you know what? We are to be this to the world now. We're not the Savior, but we are to introduce the Savior. We are to present the Savior, not just on Sundays or just in this building, but everywhere we go and everything we do, through every storm we cross, to every person that comes to our path, we are to show them Jesus. His greatness, His love, His mercy, His kindness. Oh, praise the Lord. To the Jew, to the chosen, to the leper, Jesus reached out and touched him, the untouchable. Jesus was a man with compassion that went beyond the standard and the limit of the times. He touched a man who did not know compassion or fellowship for so long. And he simply spoke healing into his life. Oh, hallelujah. He reached out to the man everyone else had rejected. Are we reaching out to the rejected? Are we out there reaching out? Are we reaching, not just reaching out, but are we reaching the rejected? Are we reaching the broken? Because if we're not, it's what we need to be doing. No matter what your calling is, no matter what you call yourself, it's what we're supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be sharing the good news, raising up disciples, baptizing them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For His glory. Praise the Lord. The demon-possessed man, a Roman, who had no right to the kingdom, no rights to Christ. And yet Jesus crossed a sea, went through a storm to get to just him. He was his only purpose on that land, in that place. This was his only purpose. This man who all others had abandoned and rejected. This man who had no hope, who had no future, praise the Lord. Excuse me. This is what Christ does for us. He gives us hope and a future where we had none. Thank you, baby. Excuse me, I sang in worship. Hallelujah. He does for us what no one else can do. He crosses every border. He crosses every boundary. Every sickness, every disease, nothing can stand before him. Nothing can thwart him. And he crosses all of those boundaries and all of those limits just to reach you and me. Huh, the unreachable, the broken, the in bondage, the unsensible, the abandoned, the rejected. None of those barriers matter for Christ. He reaches right past them. He goes right beyond them to bring healing to our hearts and restoration. Oh, praise the Lord. He is the one who gives hope. And he is the only hope. Without him, there is no hope. But with him, there is always hope. When he was speaking to me Sunday, and he told me to repent. When he showed me all the times that I had rejected Pastor. There was no anger. There was no bitterness in him. It was just simple truth, laid open and laid bare before me. That showed me the error of my thinking. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in what we want and how we want it that we can't see the simplicity and the beauty of what he's asking. He wasn't asking me to do anything I hadn't been doing. He wasn't asking me to jump over a great divide. He was asking me to just accept what his calling on me is. And nobody in the history of the earth has ever wanted to do something more for Christ than I have. It's not possible. I want to do something for him. I want to bring glory to his kingdom in any way I possibly can. But in this one area, I was so firmly said no. 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 But he just opened his heart to me in such a way that I said, okay, yes, yes, yes. I repent. I come to you again. I repent. I'll do whatever you're asking me to do. And I can imagine these gentlemen, when Christ came to them, when they came to him without hope for anything, for a future, for life, for anything. And he spoke to them so gently and in so much love and gave them everything. Wow. There is power in how Christ's love, in how he loves, in how he works with the people and he meets the people. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53, verse 3. It says, he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one whom men hid their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Everything you and I have ever felt, abandoned, alone, pain, physical or emotional, grief. He has felt all those things himself. Thank you. He knows what it is to be rejected by others. He knows what it was to be abandoned or to be pushed out or alone or left. He knows what it was to be in physical pain. He knows what it was to be accused of something he never did. He knows what it was to carry your sin. To carry my sin to the cross in my place. There is nowhere we have ever been. He has not been there before you. There is no emotion you have ever felt that he did not feel. With a purpose. Everything he went through, everything he did with a purpose. He did with a calling. His calling was Savior. His calling was friend. His calling was brother, pastor, teacher. He fulfilled prophet. He fulfilled every calling there was. To show you and I, we could do this. We could carry this because he did it first. There is nowhere we've ever been that he doesn't understand or hasn't walked there. And he did it for you, specifically for me, so that he could be our Savior. He brought hope. He brings hope to the hopeless and to the lost. How many of us have felt hopeless and lost and abandoned and betrayed? He knows all of those things. He was all of those things for you in your place so that we could know restoration between him and us and between us and God. He brings hope where there is no hope. He is the only hope that truly exists. And he came to life with a purpose. He always had a purpose, a calling, a destiny, a place where he was going. How many times do we feel lost and we've got no clue where we're going? If we just accept that call, we'll know where we're going. Even if we don't always know the turns or what lies ahead of us, we'll know where we're going. Because he goes before us. Because he's prepared the way for us. Oh, hallelujah. I can accept the call. I can say, okay, fine, pastor, it is. Because I know that he's carrying me and he's carrying me through it. He did it before me. I'm not doing anything any different. I am simply walking with him. But now I understand. I have a greater understanding of where I'm going and what I'm called to do because I have finally accepted the calling that I have denied my whole life. When I told my daughter Sunday, when I got home and I told her, I said, oh man, you're not going to believe what happened to me today at church. You're not going to believe it. And when I told her, pastor, she looks at me, she goes, no way. No way, mom. You've said never. My whole life I've said never. But I want to go where he's leading me. I want to be where he is. Oh, I want to be where he is, and I want to go where he's taking me. And if that means accepting the call, I'm going to accept it. If it means, one, you know, pastor, fine, I don't care. Call me pastor. That's great. I just want to know where I'm going with him. I'm not doing this alone. I'm doing it with him. I accept it. He's paid for it. He bore all of my sin and all of my shame. And I am no longer lost. I know where we're going. I know the plan. Hallelujah. And the plan is to simply follow him. Follow him. Praise the Lord. In Psalms 56:9, it says, this is the second part of it. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, this I know, that God is for me. God is for me. I know this. I know no matter what he asks me to do, he is for me and I can trust him in it. Even if it's call me pastor, I can trust him in it because I know he is for me. I know he is not setting me up for a fall. I know that he's not going to just hold a little string out there that he's going to trip me up with. He is with me and he is for me. Hallelujah. And that brings freedom to my heart. He was for these two men. He was for the leper and he was for the demon possessed. He was for the sick and he was for the broken and the lost and the abandoned and the rejected. He is for them. Praise the Lord. He is for them. Hallelujah. And if you are rejected, if you feel abandoned, if you feel lost, if you're sick, he is for you. Praise the Lord. No matter what you're walking through, he is for you. No matter what the enemy says to you, he is for you. Answer the call. Accept the call. Hear his voice. Hear him calling out to you that he is for you and not against you. Praise the Lord. And he will walk by you and he will walk with you wherever he is leading you. Praise the Lord. And I said to him, but Lord, I'm not really qualified to be a pastor. I mean, I know I have the car and I know it says ordained. I know all that. Yeah. But I'm not really qualified. I can't be bruised, Jesus. And the Lord said, I have prepared you for every good work. The Lord is preparing us for every good work. Hallelujah. And he is for you. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, he is for you, praise the Lord. He brings hope to the hopeless because he is for you. That is so amazing to me. Every time I pray about it, every time I think about it, it brings me literally to my knees before him. He is for me. For me. No matter what I feel, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what you feel, no matter what you're going through, no matter what battle is raging in your life, know this one thing, he is for you. And he is not surprised by the things we feel or the things we think, praise the Lord. He is for us. You know, I'm going to close with this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bless you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Oh, praise the Lord. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you to give you hope and a future. He is our only hope. He is the hope of the nation, the hope of the world. Oh, he is the hope that we can bank on, that we can count on, no matter where we are or how far away we feel, no matter if we know the Lord at this moment or we're just now hearing this message. He is for you, and there's a call going out over your life. There's a call going out over you. Hallelujah. Answer the call. Let him use you for his glory. You know, I'm going to do one more verse. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. He just told me this. Sorry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have to wait 6 seconds to be able to change programs on this thing for some reason. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. If you will go with me, this last verse, in Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, praise the Lord. It says, I guess I'm going to start at verse 11, but I want to talk about verse 12. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. This is the important part. Whatever your calling is, a teacher, an edifier, whatever your calling is, worship, whatever your calling is, this is the purpose. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's talking about serving. Serving. When we're talking about edifying the body of Christ, when we're talking about preparing the body of Christ to come into unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's talking about serving. All of these things are about serving. We have to be serving in the body. We are called to serve in the body for the equipping of the saints. It's for the teaching and the preparing of the saints. That's us. Ministry is to prepare and equip the people. Hallelujah. For Christ. So that we can come to a fullness of the measure, to the of unity in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're all called to serve. And we're not serving without hope. We're not serving in a hopeless cause. We are serving in the greatest cause. We are serving in the hope of what Christ has done in us, he will do in others. We are serving in the hope and belief that Christ is for us. Because if it's in his word, it is true, irrefutably, undeniably true. And we all have to serve one another. We have to serve in the body. We have to prepare and get ready and for his glory to be revealed in us as a body and as individuals. Christ's glory needs to be revealed. And sometimes we think that's hopeless, and sometimes we think it's impossible because we know us. But it's not, because we have the hope of Christ, the hope of glory. We have him and what he's done for us. And it doesn't matter what we're facing. Doesn't matter what we're walking through. He's there with us. We're not alone. He's not going to walk away from us. He's not going to abandon us. Remember, Christ came for the abandoned. He came for the rejected. He came for the lost, praise the Lord. He came for people just like you and me to restore hope. Oh, hallelujah. Please stand with me to your feet tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for everyone here tonight, Father. I thank you for your plan and your purpose over their life. Lord, even if we don't see it, even if we don't understand it, even if we don't know what it is, Lord, I thank you for the call that is over each and every life of those here, of those watching. Oh, God, I thank you that no life is born that you don't have a purpose or a cause for. Oh, hallelujah. No life is beyond your redeeming power. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No situation is hopeless beyond your redeeming power, oh God. No situation is bigger than you, Father. And I thank you, precious Savior. I thank you, Lord, for the callings over your people, for the call, oh God, that is going out, Lord Jesus, of salvation and of what you have prepared for your people to do for your glory, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. If you are watching tonight, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you hear the call. Oh, you feel it in your heart. You feel the tug. You know that life has to be more than just this. You feel lost. You feel hopeless. You feel abandoned. You feel rejected. Let me tell you, Jesus is the answer. And it doesn't have to happen right here in this place. It can happen right where you're at. All you have to say is, Jesus, I need you for my Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died for my sins and you rose again. I am yours. Take me. Use me. Fill me. Work in me for your glory in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. It's that simple. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you watching us tonight. I just say thank you. I say God bless you. I say be blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.